Last time we started the second parak of Nubi Tachem, and opened with Chazon Ish pointed contrasting popular misconception of Bitachon with an accurate understanding of what Bitachon actually is. Jake, thank you very much. And we saw, one of the key ideas that the Chazon Ish put forward, he gave us a central definition of Bitachon as being not that believing that whatever I want to happen will happen, but believing that that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to happen will happen. In other words, that life is not happening randomly, and life is not just a mere randomized stochastic chance, but life is being driven by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whom I sometimes understand and sometimes do not. But I know that it's not random. I know it's being driven, and being driven by a driver who profoundly cares about me and profoundly is interested in my long-term best interest, whether I can see that in the short term or not. As he put it, she'ein mikra ba'olam. Things are not random. And then he began to talk about first seemed to be an interesting digression, but we saw really dovetailed with this very much, or expanded this idea very critically. That was his take, Chazon Ish's take on why are midos called midos? Not because they're the measure of a person, but because they're things that are not binary. Not that either I am humble or not humble. Half a tzedakah box is not a tzedakah box. Half a tzedakah box is a piece of garbage. But half of anava is just less anava, right? And half of self-control is less self-control. Half of calm is less calm, but not no calm at all. He said half of emunah is still emunah, just not as much. That the Rashi, but Ketani Amana, that the Chazon Ish seem to be referencing. And the question is, well, how does that make a lot of sense? You don't believe, it does seem pretty binary. So that's where he began to develop this idea that Emunah isn't just, do I subscribe to this abstract idea or not? Do you believe that God exists? Do you not believe, Rechman Son, that God exists? No, believe, but there's more to it than just I do believe, I don't believe. There's also the question, even within that, there could be maybe different degrees of agnosticism, but he says greater or lesser emunah means, I subscribe to the notion that God exists, but the question is to what extent do I apply it? How deeply do I feel it? How deeply do I apply it? And here he began to talk, he ended last time, that by jumping ahead a little bit into Chelek Beis, we'll come back now to the end of Chelek Aleph, which we had skipped, that bitachon is applied emunah. Bitachon is emunah in action. Emunah, as he put it, is halacha, and bitachon is maisa. Emunah is theory. I believe in this theoretical notion that there exists a God who runs the world. Okay, good. Bitachon is when I live my life with putting that into practice. And we began to see some of these facets, I should say, of bitachon, different ways in which emunah could be applied in my life.
Is there a line where it stops and starts? And that was the one thing that I was a little lost on.
There is a zero.
No. What I'm saying is that you had the example you gave last week was the interview. The person gets an interview, doesn't get the job, and you had said that the fact that I didn't get the job is not my chesaron b'tachon, but it was God didn't want me to get a job.
Right.
So my question is that if that's so, my kid doesn't get into a school, and you should say, well, let me just accept it because that's God's decision, as opposed to maybe trying to call this person, call that person, to try to circumvent that and try to get it done anyway. And it's at one point in time you say, well, God just doesn't want it, and therefore don't do anything else. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, where
that
you
brings
draw
us
the line between emunah and saying that God does what he... This is God's decision, as opposed to...
Elchanan Dulitz, your unerring sense of setting up a segue into what we're up to has come to the fore once again. Because the Chazon Ish began to talk about the ways in which our emunah expresses itself. Other than just how do I think about things? Well, I had to, but that's sort of the emunah itself. How does it express itself? So we saw So last time, number one, was he said, it's going to express itself in the degree of self-control. To what extent can I put Ritzon Hashem over my own? I want to do this, but I know it's wrong. I want to talk a certain way. I want to eat a certain item. I want to go to a certain place. I know I shouldn't, but I really want to. Whether it's a carnal taiva, or it's a financial taiva, or it's a social taiva, I really want X. And I know I shouldn't. It's not that I'm not really sure what the halacha is. I know I shouldn't, but I really want it. So he said, you know, sometimes we succeed and sometimes we fail. And some people have a better bayin average, some people have a weaker bayin average. And some people will be able to exercise self-control only sort of the things that are socially unacceptable. Everyone knows that that's not religion. Religious people don't do X. And some people can exercise self-control even in an area, even for an aveir which in my circle is socially acceptable. He said that's one expression of emunah. That's one application of emunah. That and after bitachon, that's bitachon. One aspect of bitachon, one application of emunah is to what degree can I exercise self-control? The more deeply I truly believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and that my life is intertwined with Rosh Zom, so the more deeply I feel that, the more effectively I can say, look, I really want, but Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to do it, and that's real. And that's going to be decisive. That's going to be dispositive. So that was number one. Bitachon number one, application of one of the Muna was in terms of how thoroughly I can control myself and put Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon over my own. And the second item that he had pointed to in terms of application of emunah, number two, was in the middle of page at Zion. We saw this is what we ended with last time, and then we'll pick up with where you led us, Alchan. Number two was my emotional state in a crisis situation. As I realized that I'm in a situation, and I realized that I'm not sure how it's going to play out, and it may be okay, it may be bad, maybe really bad. So I should confront. Bitachon does not mean to practice escapism and pretend that nothing bad can happen. That's a misconception. But what true bitachon will give me is an ability to look at the facts in the eye and say, look, it may turn okay, or it may be really painful. And to say, but to have the calm that comes from saying, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. I do know it's up to Kadosh Baruch Hu whether I'll get X or Y. And that gives me sort of a more rational sense of calm. Certainly not easy. And the greater the stakes, the greater the risk, the greater the concern, obviously, the more difficult it will be to be able to maintain that clarity and inner calm and to be able to put the panic aside. But that's an expression to the extent that the deeper my emunah, the more I'll be able to look at things and say, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that Kadosh Baruch Hu was in charge. So let me see what I can do here. Calmly. That's number two. Number one was self-control in facing taiva. Number two was calm facing crisis or facing danger. And number three, and here we pick up near the bottom of page Yud Zayin. Umimit gam is the last paragraph in section 11. Gam ilos shel ha-hatzala. What strategies would I use to react to situations? I'm in situations. He said, one aspect of bitachon is what's my emotional reaction? How common? What's my emotional state? Now, another question is, how do I react practically? What do I do? Ilo shel ha-hatzala. What strategies will I use? What tools will I use? How am I going to respond? How am I going to try to practice? What hishtadlus will I do? How I try to fix the situation. Bitachon doesn't mean that we say, okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, I'm just going to go to sleep. Yonah was doing the wrong thing when he said, I'm just going to sleep and not responding. You do have to react to the situation. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it clear to us that he runs the world but doesn't expect us to be passive. He runs the world, and part of his expectation of us is we're going to be active participants in the world, active partners in our destiny, with the recognition of Kadosh Baruch Hu is a senior partner in our destiny, but he wants us to be active junior partners. So Kadosh Baruch Hu does want us to as you think of Yaakov Avinu, and he's davened, and he also it was prepared for both diplomacy and military action. So there is going to be surely Bitachon doesn't mean there's no ishtadlus, but Chazanish says, but what I choose to do, mishtanos etzel haboteach. The boteach will certainly have a practical approach to a problem, but his practical approach, not only will his emotional response be different, his practical approach will be different too. Key. Now, how does that could play itself out? Number one, he says, tachas lerdof achar nedivim v'sarim v'vakesh tachbul shav. Rather than chasing things that can't help me, yifashpesh haboteach b'masav, the boteach will be prompted to tshuva, yifnes libal l'tshuva tefilat staka v'havir s'rogzer. Now, he says, a boteach is going to recognize that this may be a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and tshuva tefilat staka. So Al Chalon says, what happened to practical hishtadlus?
No. What you said last week, last week you said was that if I recall correctly, you said last week that if a person doesn't get the interview, it's not because I didn't do true, it's not because of Bitach, it's because of Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted it. You had said, right? My spoke correctly? Did you not say
the interview thing was forward looking and not backward looking?
Correct.
I'm not going to be terrified, I'm not going to get the interview because God's controlling the situation. I don't know.
And if I don't get it, I do my job, and if I don't get it, it's because God didn't want me to get it, and that's the best thing for me. Isn't that what Bitachon is?
It's true that Kadosh Baruch Hu made that call, but that doesn't mean that I can't change facts on the ground that will impact the Kadosh Baruch Hu's calculus. But it means it's not, no, Adrabah. In other words, The opposite of bitachon would be to assume that life just happens and whatever, just stuff is going to happen, and there's nothing, it just whatever happens, right? And everything is just mikra. Bitachon is recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is driving the ship. So, and that's going to play itself out in different ways. The place of that, in the calm that comes from knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me, cares about me, and he's riding the ship. So I'm not sure that what's going to happen, and I may enjoy it, or in the short term I may really not enjoy it, but there's a certain common knowing, look at Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. There's also one part of my practical response is going to be, well, if Kadosh Baruch Hu is riding the ship, not just random, that stands to reason that the greater tzaddik I am, the better I'm positioning myself for success. So tshuva tefillah and staka. If a person doesn't recognize God's end of the world, then tshuva tefillah and staka aren't going to play any role in determining what happens to me. But if I believe that when I recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the show, so then it stands to reason that tshuva, tefillah, and staka improve myself spiritually, puts me in a better position for a more pleasant response from Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's going to also talk about the physical responses. In other words, he so far said one aspect of bitachon is self-control with time. Another aspect of bitachon is an emotional response to crisis, to danger, to uncertainty in life. A third aspect of bitachon is that part of my practical response to uncertainty is going to be spiritual improvement. And now he's going to turn our attention to number four, and this is going to be a longer discussion, which we're going to begin now, which is, how about like the physical response, not just the spiritual response, how about like the hishtadlus? How about like, is a boteach different in the way he rethinks his business when things aren't going well? The practical hishtadlus. That's where he turns our attention to. Let's take a look here. Let's pick up, we had seen the first couple lines of section base, but we can see them again. But here are the next sheets for those who want. About to turn page. So here are the copies. Ulaha Amur, section base. He says, let's review let's concretize what we just saw. Emunah bitachon achasim. Emunah bitachon are two sides of the same coin. Emunah ma'bat haklalisha ba'aleha. Bitachon ma'bat shalom amin ha'atma. Emunah is sort of a general perspective on the world. Bitachon is how I see myself. In other words, how am I going to act as the actions of the Maman? Emunah is bechinas halacha, bitachon is bechinas maaseh. Emuna is principle, bitachon is practice. And here he says, Nakel li yos boteach v'shashen ikar tafnush ha-bitachon. Recognize that it's easy to be a boteach at the time when you don't really need, when the function of bitachon isn't critical. Makosh li yos boteach v'shas tafkidu v'emes. It's a lot harder to be a boteach when you actually need it. The times in life when you need to put your bitachon to work, that's when it's really hard. It's easy to talk a good talk, to talk a lot about bitachon when it's not relevant. Nice, pleasant fantasies. And over time, if I'm at a point in life when it's not very rocky, I don't really need the bitachon. It's easy to say, I have a lot of bitachon. And over time, as he says, with a transcendental psychological insight, I begin to fool myself and fool others. I might convince myself, yeah, I'm talking bitachon all the time. I'm Baruch Hashem in up and down. Everything's better than Hashem. I must be a great bitachon. I might convince other people that I have a lot of bitachon. I might even fool myself. Mat'es atzmo, mat'es achem. Well, amit is a davar. But the truth is, at this point in his life, mishameshu mitazu, v'hatavas chalomos ne'imim ha'asya kam. He has pleasant dreams about the future, and so far none of his balloons have been popped. So he's using bitachon just to make himself feel good, but it's not real bitachon. Well, what does he mean? He says, you know what you're going to tell? And he's about to give us a sketch. Does he know you tell if it's pivot leave or shoving? If you're really feeling inside what you're talking about? He says, Kasha nifgash be mikra adorish bitachon. When a Jew comes to a situation that really calls for bitachon, comes to a situation where I really need to put it to practice. Shah Zu, at this point in time, in a more difficult situation, it falls to bitachon l'nahalehu, to guide me, l'hachlima l'raposto, to heal me, to cure me. When the chips are down, do you turn to bitachon then, or all of a sudden, dafka b'shazu lo panilav, or when life is difficult, all of a sudden, you know, my bitachon gets forgotten. I'm looking to the wrong things. I'm looking to things which are fake. This is a little mysterious. This whole paragraph, a little theoretical. So he says, let me give you a sketch, a vignette. I think it would be the official term. Os Gimel. Masha'an Roam B'chaim. Let's talk about real life, he says. Consider the following, scene. Ruven Ish Musari. And the Chazon Ish, I should say, Chazon Ish, we've been seeing the Chazon Ish's poetic skill, but now you see his skill in terms of writing fiction, in terms of characterization, and his literary sarcasm, his incredible touch. Reuven Ish Musari.
When he says Musari, when I hear Musari in Hebrew today, it means moral. But here,
he means in the sense of Musar. Yes, yeah. He means in the classical. He's a man of Musar. And there's also a little bit of sarcasm. There's an edge. Reuven is a man of Musar. I never heard the no trop. But that's as it unfolds. Reuven is a man of
Musar. Everyone knows he goes to a
Musar bar. Right. Zimras HaBitachon, are you ready? That Zimras HaBitachon. The song of Bitachon is Adal Svasav. It flows off his lips. Tamid Meganez Rav HaShtadlos. He's always saying, you shouldn't do too much Hashtadlos. You should have more Bitachon while you're working so hard. Where's your Bitachon? U'misa'evis HaRadifa Achar HaParnasa. And he puts down running after money. Well, you have to run after panasa for Yamnamu Ish Matzliach. Chazon Ish says, well, and Reuven is very successful financially. Uvachanus Olech Zan Olukuchos. He's a shopkeeper who does not lack for customers. And then Uzakuk L'Rav Hashtadlos. Baruch Hashem. He doesn't need to work very hard. Things are just sort of working in the right. The ship is right itself. He's not very involved in the marketing. He's in the right time, the right place. Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving him a slach right now. Things seem to be going. So Amnam Ohev who is Habitachon. He takalos bitachon ki aloha gama bitachon mar lapam shochos. Bitachon is smiling at him. Or bitachon in quotes. His sense of bitachon. Everything's great. So this whole his whole approach to say talking about bitachon, it seems to be working very well. He talks about bitachon. The story is doing well. You know, so far so good. Psychological moment. Hinei niftano, and all of a sudden we're shocked. Pissum. Yeah. What a surprise. We're suddenly surprised to see Reuven HaBoteach, that great Boteach, Reuven, all of a sudden, Mislacheshim Na'ar, you see the corner, he's like whispering with his whole, all his cronies, Na'ar V'Anshe Atzasa, Eich L'Hafter Atzasre Ehu, all of a sudden there's this whole clutch, they're trying to figure out, how is he going to take down the other guy? Ha'omer L'Fto'ach Hanus Kamoso. Shimon was talking, someone's talking about opening a competing store, and all of a sudden, Reuven's immediate response is he gets into council with the cronies, what's he going to do? Umale Etzemiza. He's terribly upset. Like, what's he going to do? I can't. This is going to be his ruin. And it goes from bad to worse. At first, it's hidden away in his heart. He's embarrassed to like say openly that he's he's going to talk about how anxious he is, you know. He has to keep up, at first he needs to keep up his rep of being the confident boteach. But over time, but as time goes on, it gets worse and worse, and he even loses a sense of busha. He's not embarrassed. It goes from bad to worse, and after a while, he's just out in the open doing underhanded things to destroy his potential competitor. And step by step, slowly, slowly, he gets deeper and deeper into the muck of dishonesty. And over time, any sense of shame just melts away. It gets to a point where he's doing embarrassing acts, embarrassingly unethical acts, with no shame. Just everyone sees out in the open, and it gets to the point. You know, the Chazar continues the sketch. Imagine this painful scene. And this negative competition between him and the new guy in the block, misparsemes tachlas apirson. It becomes absolutely public. Venasla sichas yam. Everyone's talking about it. It's the talk of the town. The fact that Reuven and Shimon is opening a store, and Reuven is trying to destroy it before it gets off the ground. Lo yedei kalem. Any shred of embarrassment, of shame is gone. And it gets even worse. They already saw trying to knock him down, and he loses his busha. And now, Bodet Tamim Venimukim Asher Shakir Yisodam. Sounds like step three is he begins to generate Narashkeit. He begins to make up all these silly explanations of why, and rooted in Shakir, of why he's really right. On Mishakim, Lahosiz Bayurim Chadash Mukarim. He has all sorts of tyrus. About he found a tesis and a tzais, that really he's doing the right thing, and he's a tzak, the other guy is a rasha. Shekol mashem is charek negreiz, l'shem shamayim. He convinces himself, all his fancy, elaborate explanations, it's a mitzvah, he's doing this, this is the right thing. Chalila, this guy's going to come in, he's going to lower our standards, and et al pitoros hamusar. No, it's all because of my nidas hanava. Narashkeit. Umashlas atzmo la'amen kein. He fools himself, and there's a tremendous amount of insight in that. That he really believes, or this whole web, this whole miasma of narashkeit that he's built up for himself. He really comes to believe it. Umate gamzulaso, and he'll fool other people also. And the next couple of words are very telling. He'll fool other people also into believing his L'Shem Shamayim script. What sort of other people? Ketanei Hadas, Ohavei Ketatos. People who are small-minded, or people who love a good fight. And maybe people just like narrow-minded, like small-minded people, or they may not be so small-minded, but, you know, Machlokes is fun, so they're willing to go along with it. A lot of, as I said, tremendous amount of such insight, and his literary touch. And then it says, let's try to imagine. Imagine the scene. Like, who's here? Like, what do you see? What sort of people do you see? Al harov, and typically, mislaktim svivo. Mislaktim is probably a reference to the language of Shoftim by Gidon, by Slakta Eva Nashim Rekim, the shallow people that gathered around him. So Al harov mislaktim svivo, where the people are sort of like coalescing around this motley crew, around this person. Rodfei Meriva, Chovevei Rachel, those who chase an opportunity to for Machlekes, those who love Lashon Hara, the Hasatan Matzal Shalom Benehem, and all those people who are hard to get along with, but the Yitzhahara sees to it that all of a sudden now they're all getting along with each other because it's in the best interest of they're doing more Aveiros that they manage to get along. V'nivna al yada mivtzar kayim, and through this team, there is erected a powerful, sturdy fortress, a veritable castle, a castle of what? A palace of Ketatus and Merivas, a palace of Machlekes, of Lashon Hara, Rechilus, Sheker, Sinas Chinam, a palace of all this terribly negative fighting, hate, Lashon Hara, lies, Sinas Chinam, Marichayam Veshanim. And all this Lashon Hara and the lies are all going to have a lot of Rechazam. This is going to be sturdy machlokes. This isn't going to be like a here today, gone tomorrow. This can go on for years. And unfortunately, that's sometimes the case. Right? We all know all too well. Right? He's being cute, but this, unfortunately, when this is reality, there's nothing pleasant about it. The Eino Min HaNimna, the Chaznish says, is the final line. And it's not impossible, he says, lihipagesh begoral hara hazeh, to come across this terrible situation, gam be'esek ruchani lagamri. Not just where it started with money, but I managed to give it an overlay, a patina of, oh, it's all Shem Shalai. It could be the whole context is purely religious, purely spiritual, and within an entirely spiritual context, you can end up with this terrible situation of lies and machlekes and that hideous palace. But ufanim yuchadim uvemikrim upanim. In particular, under particular circumstances, in particularly murky situations, it could be even starting a yeshiva, kollel, hospital, tzedakah organization, shul, what have you. In the context is entirely spiritual, and yet everything, as he says, v'chol sidra machlokas misnahagim gam etzlam b'mishtar hanohug davar davar lafnav. The entire pattern of developed machlokas will in lock, it'll be textbook, play itself out even in a what ought to be an entirely religious spiritual, and it's a spiritual context, but this terribly anti-spiritual human phenomenon can play itself out. And the Chaznish says, maybe we'll close with the next paragraph or two. Maybe let's read one short paragraph and then I want to hear your question. He says, in case you're wondering, why I just spent the last page on this like short story. He said, Gemul HaMekuvel Lanu, I'm not writing a work of fiction here. You may wonder, well, what's the point? Gemul HaMekuvel Lanu, Mehalos HaDvarim Al Sefer. The gain that I'm hoping to achieve by putting this onto paper, ki bahalo senos hagnus ala sefer, because spelling it out black and white, ba'im adzvar mahalo hatim, these burning words, and they're burning with the sarcasm of the Chaznish, will mitapchen al panin, it's going to hit us in the face. Lahakiris hagnus shall be tacham azif. He says, but I wanted to consider real situation and recognize how vile fake bitachon could be. Because think back, because it started all with this Reuven who convinced himself that he has bitachon and everything is a Baruch Hashem, but it was so shallow. It was so shallow, and what lay beneath, he was walking the walk, excuse me, he was talking the talk, he was talking a good talk, yeah, bitachon, Baruch Hashem, and this is not anti-Baruch Hashem, it is good to say Baruch Hashem, but Baruch Hashem that's not just Nasaf of Elachotz. A Baruch Hashem that's rooted in a real, deep, internal sense of the Ribbono Shel Olam is running the world, and then I speak about it. And then I naturally speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but not just putting on a show. not just play on the show. And this sets us up, and we'll continue this in Mirtz Hashem going forward, to begin to talk about what's the flip side. We just saw how a Jew should not react to crisis. I had a job, I had a store, it was going well, and all of a sudden I see danger up ahead. I see a competitor looking to open up, and that may well spell that we may be fine, or that may well spell a big downturn. So how am I going to deal with that? So we just saw how not to, how many people do, and how vile that is, and how far that is from the sort of reaction that's born out of a sense that Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. The next step is to say, so what is a positive reaction? What sort of hishtadlus would a boteach do? So he's going to develop that from a couple of different angles as you go forward. But Seth, you've been waiting incredibly patiently for a call. Question. Thank you.
I don't see what this entire thing has to do with Bitachon. Let me, in the original situation, the person is saying, oh, don't work so hard, you know, you shouldn't be chasing it. That's not a question of Bitachon. Meaning, he has money. So if he thinks that people shouldn't, he's not going to work twice as hard so we can get two Mercedes-Benz automobiles instead of just one. That means he's willing, that's not good Bitachon. That means he realizes the value of being able to make do with a little less, not with everything that he can. But his store is going well. And he doesn't have to work too hard to make
business
his store
is booming.
Right.
The customer is just...
And when he's going around telling everybody, why do you have to work, why do you work so hard, why are you always chasing after money?
Look at me. I'm not burning the midnight oil at work.
But that's not Bitachon. In other words, that is...
I agree.
That's him expressing the value. But let's say that he was genuine about all this, and that the second half never happened. If he's taking the position, I'm not going to work so hard, I'm not going to work overly hard because I have enough, that's him deciding that other things are more important than work and money, and making do with what he has. What is it?
Putting out a fictitious form of bitachon. That's what he's putting out.
What you're saying is that a lot of the words uttered in the first act of this play could be also said by someone who's a true boteach, and in that case, those same words would be coming from a place of integrity.
No, what I'm saying is that. Never
that tries
it. That's true. But I don't think that I didn't think that the words, that the situation set up with Reuben.
Were even fake bitachon?
Yeah, there were other things.
And maybe it's a question of how you fill in the missing pits of the story.
Why are you chasing after
Parnassus? Oh, the Kashba will take care of you. Oh, he's worked out to work so hard. Don't do so much Shtavlas, have Bitachon, it'll be fine. Kashba will take care of you. Look at me. I leave work at 5 o'clock every day. Everything's fine. What do you mean? Don't run around. You have to travel so much. It'll be fine. Now, it's not coming out of real Bitachon. That's sort of the picked up, that's like a firm way to talk. And right now it's working.
Inconsistency,
the test, or maybe saying the test can never happen, and things are good. Because at the end of the day, I mean, that's what he says at the beginning of the parable.
That's the mind
No, no. No, no. The point is that it's Jake, it's hard to test a guy's be tough on if things are good. Because he's saying, look, here's a guy, you know, he's getting money, you know, hand over fist, things are going great. And he's profoundly, he's professing bitachon, but at the end of the day, when the chips are turned, his bitachon is useless because he doesn't really have any, and he's doing all these underhanded things.
Your umbrella has holes in it.
Right.
But if it's not raining, who knows?
Right.
When it starts raining, all of a sudden, there's always rain. Right. No, there will always be rain, but what the Chazon Ish is saying is, on a sunny day, I might think I have a great umbrella because it hasn't been tested.
Right.
So right now, you know, I have an umbrella. Maybe it, like, keeps the sun off of me, but, like, it does need to be waterproof. Like my cool umbrella. All of a sudden, it starts raining, and I'm getting very wet. It clearly wasn't. Oh, right, I meant umbrella more just as an analogy to be talking.
Of course. Yeah. Well, I mean, you have a hole in your umbrella, you want it to exist.
Right.
You go into the building, or you get a new umbrella.
Right.
So that's simple.
Right.
So then this, the first paragraph of Gimel then, is the example of what he started out with, which is...
You're saying it could Gimel, the first paragraph alone, be legitimate bitachon? I mean, bear in mind that, and this may be a larger theme throughout the Sefer, is the intertwining of Midos and other parts of being Oved Hashem. As when he said before that Bitachon is a Midah, that may also speak to what he's indicating here, which is that there's a interplay between what we usually call Midos Tovos and the Midah Bitachon. In other words, when everything falls apart, the lack of bitachon goes hand in hand with a whole host of other midos raos. The guy's contentious and he's lacks integrity and like all sorts of, and there are hints of that in terms of the first paragraph. There are already hints of that here. In other words, I think that's part of again in terms of analyzing the literary composition. But you get the impression. Even there's something's off at the beginning. I'm doing well, and I'm giving other people drushes about how they should have more bitachon. That's a lack. There's a lack of empathy, and there's a lack of honesty, and a lack of authenticity, and authenticity in terms the lack of emes plays itself out in terms of lying at a later point in time, and also plays itself out in terms of inauthentic. It plays it out vis-a-vis people. I'm not honest with people. I'm not honest with myself about relation to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that language that he uses is bitachon mezuyif, false bitachon. And there is an interplay, I think we'll have to pick up next time, that's something to think about.
Mezuyif is even stronger than false.
It's fake, forged. Yeah. Right. Counterfeit bitachon. That's right. And that's the relationship between bitachon and emes. Something to think about, as well as thinking about the major question of what would practical approaches hishtalos look like in the presence of real bitachon. So, yashakach, we will continue.